mean?
I'm gonna have, like, a clean desk rule when we're recording.
It's probably a good idea.
Because, holy shit, that's the second time that's happened.
Hey, it's only 101 today.
Only?
It's only 101 today. It's fine.
Okay, I'm actually gonna put that on the flow.
You set?
I think so.
You chillin'?
Wait, hold on. Am I gonna need to be like this to make it better?
I don't know. Dude! Just put your laptop on top. Bruh, brain's working today. Let's hope your box doesn't cave in. Is that gonna be too much for, like, too hard for you to...
I'm adaptable. It's like, ooh, she's adaptable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your voice is always so muffled compared to mine. And I feel like that's just because I always, like, subconsciously am like,
you're close.
Hello? Let me talk to you.
Listen to me. I have words and they're important.
I mean, I can't guarantee they're important.
There's, like, all these bottles at my
feet. She's just playing soccer under her desk. Jesus.
Hello, and
welcome to Casual Casualties, where we talk about casualties.
Casually.
I'm Free.
I'm Becca.
And today, we are coming to you from our very own podcast! With not one, but two microphones, because we are legit now.
Yay! Shout out to my brother.
Thank you. Should we say brother's name?
Thanks, Josh.
Josh, you're the best. We owe you 10% of everything we make, which is nothing. So hot.
10% of zero is still zero. Sorry.
No, well, actually, about that. I actually, in order to make life 1,000 times easier for our viewers, we finally settled the to advertise or not to advertise debate, and we decided, fuck that noise. We're not doing it. We're not going to advertise to you guys. It's bullshit. We're not going to try and sell you stuff that we probably wouldn't buy ourselves.
Yep.
So, what we decided to do instead is, in the link to all of our episodes, like in the little bio or whatever, we have a Patreon link as well as... Okay. Hello. Can't talk with my hands.
Oh no, that's so hard.
I know.
Oh no.
So we have a Patreon link as well as something called a Flatter, Flattr. And those are both ways that you are able to contribute to us financially, monetarily. That way we are able to buy the equipment that we want to buy. We're able to fully and wholeheartedly actually make a pod lab so that we can give you guys super fantastic material constantly
at a better quality.
And the best part is we don't have to sit there and, like, break up a story to tell you all about HelloFresh.
Yeah.
It's not gonna happen. We're not gonna do it. So if you feel so inclined, you can always check out the links. In those links, you are also gonna find our Gmail in case you want to send us an email, but it is just so much work to type out that entire Gmail. I get it. I know. I probably should have thought about that when I made that. I'm really sorry. But it's too late now.
Oh, the length of the...
The length of the...
The at gmail.com.
Yeah. was not using my noggin, but that's okay because now it's in our bio for all of our episodes, so you can just copy and paste that shit so you can send us your spooky, scary stories.
Maybe now you'll actually send them.
Please. I want to do it. We will, on Patreon, have special Patreon bonuses. We're not going to send you stickers or products or anything like that. Unfortunately, Becca and I both are completely, like, brain dead and or space brainy constantly, and I don't want to make you promises we cannot follow through with. But what we will do is give you all of the random ass outtakes that were golden but did not pertain to our storyline and therefore had to be cut.
Yes.
You will get surprise sing-alongs with Luna when she feels the need to sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or whatever.
Or I think just I have generally pop in.
Yeah. So we'll have stuff like that in. And maybe once we gather a little more steam, you'll have full-length episodes in Patreon. So if that's something you kind of want to hear, go for it. Hit us up, Patreon. What else do we have there?
I had another link there. Eventually have an Amazon wish list.
Oh, yeah. Becca's going to be working on an Amazon wish list. So if you want to pick how you take care of us, you can.
I was thinking it would be funny to add, like, our favorite snacks to it.
I mean, I won't say no.
Send us snackies.
Shh, I'm a snack.
I'm a damn snack.
Do you know that TikTok audio? The I'm a snack.
No.
Bro, you're a Slytherin. How do you not know the I'm a snack?
I don't know, because I keep getting Hufflepuff videos.
Probably because you keep sending me Hufflepuff videos.
So I'll either get Hufflepuff videos or Slytherin videos about needing to locate your... Hufflepuff.
That's so funny.
Yes.
So, Becca and I, both with our two separate microphones now, what?
Yeah.
We are sitting in her office space, and I built us little, like...
soundproof boxes?
Little boxes to put our microphones in so we can stick our head in and talk. And it's soundproofed, kind of.
That way the audio doesn't... I don't know. Echo? Is that what was happening?
So, yeah, we had really bad echoes. It wasn't pretty. So, that's why we have this. But in time, we want to put up that soundproofing foam. Yeah. It's going to be great. We're going to actually be, like, legit podcasters, guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yay!
Whether you like it or not.
So, without any further ado, I'm actually not telling the story today. So, Becca, we are... We are at your hand. I'm scared. I don't know how to feel about this.
I am fully invested in the story, so.
Yeah, she's been trying to tell me about it all week, and I keep telling her, no, wait, because, like, I need some genuine reactions.
I know, and I'm like, but I need to tell somebody.
Nope. It's been driving her crazy.
Listen to me. Just kidding. I don't know what we're going to title this episode, but.
Why?
Make it mysterious.
There.
But if it is titled, then you already know what we're talking about.
It's like, Becca, we're already, like, in the episode. You can tell us now.
Oh, it's a secret, though. Just kidding. I feel it. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to remember that TikTok audio. If I'm not at work or podcasting, I'm TikToking.
Yeah, truth. I get, like, when I'm at work, I get, like, so many... from her.
Maybe. Only on my days off. I only get, like, but none, like, of those.
Not even one, yeah. No, what's a day off? Pray tell.
Dude, I had somebody come in tell me that, like, you have to do a double today. And I'm like, oh, what's a double look like for you? He's like 12 hours. And I was like,
that's child. Cute.
And I was like, oh, that's not bad at all. And he goes, yeah, but I don't get a break. And I'm like,
oh, that's so sad.
I was like, I don't get chairs.
I don't get chairs. Sad truth.
I don't get to sit down.
Unless you bag ice.
No, not even.
No?
No.
I would hate it when I would walk into the back room and see someone, like, sitting on a step stool bagging ice. What are you doing, bud?
The only time I ever sit down is if I'm in a cooler.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get something on the bottom shelf, and, like, that's it. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they know where we work by now.
I know. We're so mysterious, but not really.
Where do you go for the snacks?
I love, Luna will start singing that song.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Or, we went to Popeye's yesterday. Yesterday?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And we were in line and she started singing, chicken wing, hot dog and bologna, chilling with my homies.
Chicken and macaroni.
It was so cute. And an otherwise exhausting day. That was the cutest part.
I had the pure joy of introducing your small child to dinosaur nuggets, because not only does that girl love dinosaurs more than anything, she fucking loves chicken nuggets more than anything.
Yeah.
And that girl, like, and she was so tired, because, like, we went swimming for, like, 2 hours beforehand.
Yay!
Yeah, no, she was fucking tired.
I'm not surprised.
And so, like, I had her, like, zoning out watching Avatar The Last Airbender with headphones in. Like, if you ever want a kid to sit completely still, put headphones on them.
That's the secret.
Big, bulky headphones. They will not move. It's magical. But I had her sitting on my couch, zoned into Avatar, and I just put a plate in her lap, and she just kind of started to zombily eat them. And then she stopped, and she looks at one, and she goes, hey, it's a dinosaur. And I was like, yeah, it's dino nuggies. And so then she spent the entire rest of her lunch sitting there going, rawr,
rawr. So cute.
And she, like, pointed at me and be like, rawr. And then she'd, like, bite its head off.
Savage. It's like when she's eating goldfish. Mom, look, I bit its head off.
Like, all of it is head, except for the tiny little tail nub. Please excuse the sound of ambient rubbing in the background.
Oh, yeah. The boys and the child are watching Godzilla. Yeah, I know she's Godzilla. Only, like, 3 and a half, but, like, she loves... Girl loves herself some action movies, okay?
Yeah, there's not a lot of blood. It's fine.
Yeah. Just big
and roary. Rawr.
Destruction.
Okay, Becca, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so we're going to talk about The Conjuring House.
Yes, I know it's not casualties. I'm so sorry. But
it's spooky.
It's spooky, scary skeleton.
Ouch. And it may be, it's probably going to be 2 parts or 3 parts. Maybe 2. I don't know.
We'll see how long Becca can stay interested in one topic.
Oh, I already bought all 3 books, so.
You're invested whether you want to be or not.
It's so weird, like, I'm just talking and then I'm like, reaction?
Peekaboo!
What was your reaction? Is she staring at me? She's staring at me.
Of course I'm staring at you. You're hot, girl.
Yay!
Hot name. Wait, no, so, not that kind of sisters.
Because it's so hot. Hey, but you said it this time, not me.
God damn it. No, it's 101 outside and we are sitting in a brick house with practically no fan on right now
because the audio doesn't like it, and we really want to give you good audio.
Yeah.
All right, how many distractions can I get into before I start talking? Okay, so The Conjuring House. Gonna set the record straight. If you've ever seen The Conjuring, it is nothing like what the family actually went through. I didn't even know it was based off of a real house until, like, I found this girl on TikTok at madison.heinzen201, and she's done a few videos. Oh, there's what I want to show you.
Oh, God.
But she's done a few videos talking about the house, and I was like, wait, this was a real house? Like, what? I've never seen the movies, so... I don't know. And I kind of wanted to after I was reading and researching, but then I was like, never mind.
No, I'm, oh, no, no, no. Oh, I,
It hurts. Help us. And then...
That's too much.
Yeah. I was like... Oh, shit. So...
Well, like, the part that creeps me the most out about that is you can... Like, if you watch it, there is a, like, light anomaly or whatever, like a...
Yeah.
That goes after it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it just falls over. You can see something, like a light ball or whatever, going after it. So what we just watched is a night camera footage. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the black and white that's kind of tinted green.
Yeah.
And it is a... Is it one of those voice boxes?
Yeah. So it's called a spirit box.
A spirit box, yeah.
And you can very clearly hear that it say, help us.
It hurts.
And then the spirit box is, like, thrusted into the chimney. Not the chimney. The fireplace. Like,
damn! But, like, you can see an orb flying into it.
Yeah. And, like, so the Conjuring House... I don't even know where to begin, man. There's so many. So much. Okay. So, currently, the people who own it, it's a family, they allow, like, tours of it, and you can sign up and do, like, an overnight kind of thing, and they have the whole house set up on a surveillance thing, and in, like, the opening room when you first walk into the house, they have, like, a monitor, like a TV screen, like a giant TV screen.
Okay.
And you can see all the cameras that they have in the house.
Oh, good.
So they're like constantly able to like.
So there's always monitoring.
Check activity,
happening.
Yeah, which is like crazy. Yeah, I don't know. Is that coming through?
Minimally.
Okay. Sounds like it's a very exciting part of the movie.
Definitely. Wait, you have control of the TV with your phone, right?
Okay, so I can pause it, but they're using the Bose speaker, so I can't control the volume.
Damn. Dude, okay, like, I'm petty as fuck, and there was a time when I was trying to sleep because I worked the next day, but it was, like, the remnants of, like, a get-together still going on in my living room.
No.
So, like, I didn't work until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So, like, it's not like it was that big of a deal, but it was already, like, 2, 3 a.m., and I was fucking tired.
You need sleep.
And the boys were still playing on the table, and they forgot how loud they could be. And so, I have the Google Homes set up in my house, and so on the living room speaker, I played Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down.
I love that.
And I started it at, like, 3% volume. And I just quietly...
slowly turned it up.
I quietly clicked it up and up and up and up until it was loud enough that I could hear it from my room on the other side of the house. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. Like, because they turned it off in the living room. And all of a sudden I did not hear them again all night. And then, like, I thought I was funny. I thought I was being funny. And then they were really quiet all night, and I felt so bad.
You're like, I was being funny, guys.
I was like, guys, I was just being funny. I'm sorry.
But also, thanks.
But also, like, thank you for shutting the fuck up, because I kind of am tired.
I want to sleep.
Yeah, I'm tired. Leave me alone.
That's beautiful. You're being too loud. Jesus. You need to calm down.
So, yeah, Taylor. Gotcha. Like, T-C-C. Dude.
That's beautiful. Yes. Thank goodness for modern technology.
Dude, shit's impressive, yo.
Okay. I'm gonna take a quick pee break.
No.
And then I'll disappear forever. I'm just kidding. I wish I had, like, a hook.
We can get you one.
Before I ever got pregnant, I was always cold. So, like, I could literally be wearing a sweater in the middle of summer and be fine.
Yet another reason to never get pregnant. Thank
and now, you, you now I'm like always hot.
Yet another reason to never get pregnant. Thank you.
It sucks. Okay. All right. The Conjuring House. It has many names. The farm on Round Top Road is what the Perrin family referred to it as. The old Arnold Estate, or as most people today would recognize it as, the Conjuring House. The one that inspired a movie franchise. Let me punch my box.
Stop throwing shit. Wait, what? What are you doing?
Punching my box. Don't mind me over here, just punching my box.
First of all, Becca. First of all.
Is that not appropriate for this podcast?
Granted, we are definitely not, like, the family-friendly podcast, but, like, I mean...
Too far? Too far. Okay.
Okay. That's awkward.
Okay. Okay. So, the movie, the first movie, is inspired, or was inspired by Ed and Lorraine Warren's case files on the house.
Yes.
But... I did all of my research using the current owner's website, And so far, just the first book of the eldest daughter, Andrea Perrin. I think it's pronounced Perrin. I hope it is. I don't know. She wrote about the family's experience of finding the house and living there for a decade. And then their life after living in that house for 10 years. The movies are just based off of, like, the one night that the Warrens were there. So, the family, they've all seen the movie. They like the movie, but, like, the way they talk about it is, like, 5% of the movie is what actually happened.
That's lame.
And it's because, so she wrote all three books. It was only supposed to be one book, but it ended up being 1,500 pages.
Jesus!
Yeah, so she broke it up into a trilogy. And Hollywood, like, screenplay writers or directors, I don't know who said it, but they said that the real events were too scary to make a movie out of, because nobody would actually sit in a theater and watch that all the way through because of the pure terror that family endured.
Are you fucking kidding? Okay. And they lived in it for how long?
10 years. 10.
I'm not with that.
A decade. They lived in the house for a decade. So the house itself was deeded in 1680, and construction on the home was completed in 1736. The house that now stands is not the original house. I think originally it was smaller, and they had, like, there's additions to it. So, like, there are three bedrooms that are kind of next to each other.
Yeah.
And between two of the bedrooms, there's just a random window. Because it used to be a window to the outside, but now it's just a window between bedrooms that they never took out. Like,
that's kind of funny.
Yeah. The house sits on 200 acres of land when they first owned it, but I think they sold off some of the land to be able to financially unburden themselves. Because it was the 1970s when the family moved in, and they had 5 daughters.
Jesus!
5! 5 children, let alone 5 daughters. So the mom didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mom. And the dad was, like, a traveling salesman.
Oh, my God. That must have been...
Waffle? Okay, and then ready for this? Here's the ages. So, the eldest, when they moved out, at least, when they moved into the home, she was 12. And then they had a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
When they moved out or in?
When they moved into the house. So they had 5 kids under 12 years old.
Jesus motherfucking Christ.
And like I feel so sorry for their mom.
I mean, no, some people live for that shit.
It's true.
Like, my mom loved being pregnant. My mom actually almost was a surrogate for my stepmom, and then my stepmom became my stepmom.
So technically,
how awkward would that have been? I could have had a sibling from my birth mom, my stepmom, and my dad.
Oh my God.
But they wouldn't have been a throuple.
Nope.
No.
But it would have been a hella awkward situation.
Yeek!
But maybe she would have been less like your stepmom.
I don't know. Maybe
had she had her own child?
Well, the way my stepmom and my dad talk about it is, like, they always had a thing for each other, and they just were never, like, they never had the right timing. Because, like, my stepmom was also married previously.
Okay.
So, like...
Interesting.
Yeah, like, she was married and trying for kids with her husband when my dad and my mom got together. So, like, they just never had the right timing.
Interesting.
And so then it wasn't until later on when my dad and my mom separated and she was able to separate from her husband that they finally had the chance.
Oh, so, like, nobody cheated on each other to be
together. Well, my mom swears to hell and back that my dad cheated, and my dad swears to hell and back that my mom cheated, and I'm pretty sure that they both kind of were cheating.
They probably both did.
Like I know my mom had my later on stepdad over before everything was signed, but I also know that my dad and my stepmom were sharing a house before everything was signed.
So there were definitely...
I don't know. I was a kid.
Most likely.
I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, I know my mom definitely did something, and I wouldn't be surprised if my dad and stepmom did something. I don't know.
Well, especially because your mom and stepmom were friends.
Were friends.
Yeah.
Were. They... My wedding is gonna be so much fun!
Just elope.
I was talking to my work the other day about my wedding, and... No, I wasn't talking about my wedding. I was talking about my family. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, well, my stepmom was my godmom and was also the maid of honor at my parents' wedding, so.
So my wedding's gonna be fun.
And so the guy was like, wait, are they all invited to your wedding this fall? And I was like, yeah, they are. And he's like, oh, no. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I've already accepted it. There's probably gonna be a fist fight. Someone's gonna be dragged out by their collar. It's gonna be okay.
And what you're gonna I chose have so to do, much alcohol there.
I was gonna say, what I chose to do instead was heavily pay my photographer and have an open bar. Like, by the time any fights are gonna break out, I'll already be married, and at that point in time, it's just extra entertainment.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm okay with it.
You're just along for the ride.
I have my big sparkly dress, I have a husband, I have a new last name, and two new pieces of jewelry. I'm happy.
Boom.
Right? I don't need anything else.
You guys hit each other, please. Just kidding.
Well, okay. So, I did have a good friend of mine tell me, if anybody proposes at my wedding, they are going to get pummeled to the ground by a 5-foot flat, very masculine lesbian who will not hold their punches.
Cause she don't give a fuck.
Dude, I love that girl. What are you doing?
I'm trying to find my chapstick. Oh, there it is. Where's the chapstick? I found the chapstick. Okay. Red leather, yellow leather. Red leather, yellow leather. You know you New York, you need New York, you know you need New York. See what you're doing now? Oh shit.
Stop!
This desk is so noisy!
You are so noisy!
Okay. Continue.
No, you're the one who needs to continue.
I know.
Jesus Christ, Becca.
Okay, so...
like, it's not actually three parts. It's just...
it's just a lot of
one
me
part and a shit ton of squirrels.
Yes. Welcome to my ADHD brain. My undiagnosed ADHD brain. Okay.
Ain't no Adderall gonna save us today, my dudes.
Sorry, not sorry. I also had a cup of, like, a big thing of coffee and then a matcha latte today, so...
I'm jealous. Actually, no, Kyle went and got me coffee after he dropped me off for work.
Anyways. All right. So, the house was completed in 1736. Mm-hmm. So, that makes it about 285 years old today.
No, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
You know, for America, that's old. Other countries, not so much. I was reading a thing on one of the comments for, like, oh my god, the house is so old, it was built in the 1800s or the 1700s, and people in, like, England or some, like, the UK, they were like, oh, my school was, like, founded in, like, the 1300s, like, your guys' housing is, like, not anything compared to ours.
Fine, then.
Yeah, right? Okay, so 8 generations of an extended family, the Arnolds, lived and died in the house prior to the Perron family moving in 1970. Okay, so they bought the house in 1970, but they didn't technically move in until 1971.
Okay.
And here's a quote from the book said, some have departed in reverence, others have reportedly run for their lives, literally and figuratively.
So they're not the first people who lived in this house, and they knew that people before them.
They didn't know that when they moved in,
though. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they knew nothing about the history of the home until they moved into the home.
Nice. I'm picturing them walking in and finding one of those cute little, like, booklets that people use at, like, cabins.
Yeah,
so you can,
like
write down
sign
in. Yeah.
They have that now. The owners of the house, they have, like, a whole, like, wall dedicated to, like, if you stay the night or you visit, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your name on the wall.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that pisses off the ghost a little bit more.
Maybe, you know? But maybe not. So,
The house was able to withstand a hurricane in 1938. Not the house. There's a farm. Okay, there's a barn. I think that's the right word. On the land. Mm-hmm. And it withstood the hurricane because a master shipwright designed it. So even though, like, I think it was 13. Let me see. Yeah, 13 people died during that hurricane on the grounds. On the grounds of the house.
Just on the grounds. That's it.
During that one hurricane. But the barn did not.
Can you please remind me, because I'm a dumb shit, where is this house located?
Oh, yeah! It's okay, so it's in Rhode Island.
Somewhere. Oh, okay, so you... Okay, so I'm not a dumb shit, you just didn't say it yet.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say it yet.
Gotcha.
My notes are not the most coherent.
Cool. That's okay, that's what you have me for, so I can just ask questions.
Exactly. I think I have it somewhere later on, but I probably should have put that in the beginning. Anyways, so the beams of the house were... of the barn were created to sway with the wind rather than not.
It's kind of fancy.
So, yeah, that same hurricane took 13 lives on the grounds of the house. So, you know, they're not really sure how many people have died on this property.
Well, I mean, it's America.
And being that it was 285 years old, it was deeded during, like, the... before the Declaration of Independence was even signed.
So before we were even America.
So it was... definitely stolen land.
Oh, yeah.
So...
I mean, the entirety of America is stolen. Probably, yeah, like, definitely. Stolen.
Absolutely.
Granted, so, I'm sure there's some parts that nobody wanted, and then that's what we turned into Phoenix. Yeah. So. Wait, no, did I say that out loud?
Okay, so the estate was one of the original Providence plantations. And it was... it has so much history. And so much life and death in its 285 years. And a lot of it isn't really documented or documented, like, specifically what happened or how they died, just that, you know, people died. So, Mrs. John Arnold decided to claim her life at the age of 93 by hanging herself in the barn.
Oh!
Which is so sad, because it's like, you're 93 years old. Like...
give it another month, dude. What?
Yeah! Like, why are you... and so it makes me wonder, like, the house is definitely haunted.
Yes.
Was it her own decision?
Ooh, I never would have thought about that.
Or was it something that maybe made her so desperate to not be there anymore? I don't know. And then it is noted in the book that she was, quote, perhaps the one who tucked the girls in at night, the one who'd loved them well and tenderly kissed their foreheads and smelled of flowers and fruit. It was a presence of comfort and caring, one who never meant to frighten or disturb youngsters in their own beds. And there, in my notes I said, I'm not sure when the unaliving happened, but in the book it is referenced to happen about a century prior. And then Johnny Arnold appeared to have taken his own life in the house and is as gentle a spirit as this elderly woman was. He too made his presence known.
Okay, so these are two separate ghosties.
Two separate ghosties. They were the first that were mentioned in the book. I read the first book, and I've listened to a lot of interviews that she's done.
Yeah.
Talking about the house, and, like, they were both, like, most of the experiences they had were not, like, I think malignant is the right word.
I'd like to know, if you can hear a child screaming in the other room, it's because she's playing with her father. And, like, it doesn't quite sound like it, but she is, like, screeching in, like, joy, I think. It's like they're playing
and then she... I can hear him laughing.
So. I was like, they're playing, and then she's like, wait, no, stop!
Yeah.
So, like, she's probably playing until she realizes that she's losing, and then she's, like, mad. She's like,
I don't like this anymore.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like is happening. Anyways.
I don't remember. But yeah, so there was a lot of activity in the house.
But not all of it was negative, so that's kind of like a good way to start, I think.
Yeah, so not all of it was negative. Most of the kids experienced, so like again, five kids, most of what they experienced was not like evil.
Oh, how weird. I wonder why.
So, but the mom, Carolyn, she was definitely the target of something.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
So in the book, it sounds as though the universe had plans for the family to live there. Everything kind of lined up perfectly for the house to fall almost literally in their laps. So the parents are Carolyn and Roger,
mm-hmm.
and their five daughters, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cynthia, and April.
Wait. Was April actually born in April?
So April was actually born March. March 27th.
Does anyone know an April who was actually born in April?
But, like, my thing is, like, March and then April. Like, April comes after March. Why would your kid born in March be named April?
Well, I wonder if her due date was in April. April.
Like, huh? So, just for funsies, Andrea, the eldest, she's a Libra.
Okay.
Nancy, she's an Aquarius.
Okay.
Christine, also an Aquarius.
Ugh, water signs.
Cynthia is a Leo.
Hey.
April is an Aries. And okay. The mom and dad both have birthdays in August. For whatever reason, I cannot find the mom's actual birthday, just that it was in August of 1939. Mm-hmm. So she is either a Leo or a Virgo. I'm not sure. And the dad was August 27th, so he's a Virgo for sure.
Huh.
So, and they were 31. So she was 31 and he was 35 when they moved into the house.
Alrighty.
So the family previously lived in a suburb in Cumberland, Rhode Island. And a few events led to Carolyn wanting to move her kids into the country away from the crazy that was beginning to unfold around them.
Mm-hmm.
So the mom actually grew up in Georgia on a farm, which I think is why she was, like, adamant about,
like, having a farm.
Yeah. Having a farm and it being in the country. Because I guess that's where farms are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So during the summer...
You mean you don't have an intercity farm? Like, you've never seen one?
I guess not. I mean, my grandparents kind of had a farm. They had a horse and a large property in the middle of nowhere, but...
Is that inner city, though?
It was in the middle of the desert.
So that's not inner city.
So it was in the middle of nothing. Like, to this day, I do not know exactly where they lived.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So they had a family dog that they had gotten in, I think, the summer of, like, 1969.
No, stop. No. Yeah? Stop. I need to know. If this dog is okay at the end of the story.
This dog is not okay.
Becca! No. No, 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 no.
But this was before they moved into the haunted house.
The dog is not okay before?
So this is one of the events that happened that kind of snowballed into the mom wanting to get the heck out of Dodge.
What happened?
So the dog was an African Basenji, which I guess is a rare breed. And they can't really bark. Yeah. Then the mom, because it's a rare breed, the mom wanted to give it a unique name.
Mm-hmm.
So she named it Bathsheba.
Okay.
Which, if you know anything about the movies, Bathsheba is the spirit, the evil demon, as the Warrens called her, that is harassing the mom. Which is like...
That's mean.
The mom named the dog that, and then later in life...
The movie people were like, that sounds like a good idea, let's do that.
Well, in real life, Bathsheba was a real person. And they think that it was the war, like, she did research, and Bathsheba was an Arnold. So she would have, she didn't die on the farm, but her she was part of the family that owned the farm for eight generations.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this lady, in another state...
She's in the same state, different city. She's only 30 minutes away.
Okay, so this lady gets a cute little puppy.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm gonna name you Bathsheba.
Yep.
How cute. And then later on, buys a farm to find out that the family that previously owned that farm had a family member named Bathsheba.
Yep, in the 1800s, I think. Yep.
And that person died.
And that person died, and she, there were rumors about her that she was a witch, that she sacrificed an infant for immortality and youth.
And well, it didn't work now, did it? Dumb shit.
Or did it, if she's still haunting today?
That's not immortality, per se.
Technically, yeah. But yeah. So, I don't know where she came up with such a name.
It's so pretty, though.
It's kind of an odd name.
It almost strikes me as, like maybe Russian?
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely not, like, American heritage. Yeah, no. Like, it's really pretty, though.
So, the actual woman in the farm that we'll definitely bring up later, her name was Bathsheba Sherman, But that's obviously not her maiden name. Her maiden name was Arnold, which, if you remember, the family, the Perron family, called it the Arnold Estate. Mm-hmm. Because for 8 generations, it was in the Arnold family.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you, Michael.
Anyways, so the family's dog was hit by a car that summer. Yeah, so the dog was only like 2 or 3. Yeah?
Okay, whatever. It's just the ghost.
Okay.
Just random knocking on the door, it's fine.
The eldest daughter, Andrea, was absolutely devastated. And it sounds like she fell into a bit of a depression over it. Understandably. I mean,
yeah, at 12 years old, like, that's the kind of thing that's going to rock your world.
Yeah, well, and then it's like, we took the dog on a walk, and her sisters came with her. There was a truck with rowdy teenagers in it who drove by. The dog got distracted and ran off. And she desperately called the dog to come back to her. And an older couple was driving, didn't even see the dog, and
smudged to death. So, like, it was super traumatic because the girls super saw traumatic. It.
They saw it. The police were called. They came. The police officers told the girls to run home. And then they heard 2 shots fired because the dog was not. Yeah. I didn't put that in my notes because I wasn't going to bring it up. But, like, that's why she was so devastated.
I'm devastated. Oh, my God. What the fuck?
Yeah. So, that is how their summer started.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm sad.
But wait. It gets worse.
Thank you, Becca, so much.
This
is payback for the multiple children that I've talked about, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. Okay, so they took a summer family trip to kind of get away and clear their heads and hopefully lift the spirits of the kids a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
So.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is terrible. This is so bad. Okay, so there's this one time when I was a kid that we went on a road trip to, like, my mom's family in Indiana, to my stepdad's family in Iowa. Dang. And, like, all the way back home. And so, like, it was, like, a 3-week-long or, like, 4-week-long vacation where, like, we spent, like, 3 days in Texas. Or, no, we spent a day and a half in Texas. We spent, like, almost a week in Indiana. We spent almost, like, a week or 2 weeks in Iowa. Like, it was a crazy long trip.
That's insane.
And at the time, I had this dog named Max. And his name was Max because of the Wild Things, where the Wild Things are. Because it was my favorite book as a kid. And I asked her if I could name him Max. And she was like, yeah, that's fine. I was like, I'm pretty sure I was like 3 or 4 when it happened. Mm-hmm. When we got Max.
Okay.
Fast forward quite a few years. I was probably actually about 12 or so. Maybe a little bit younger. Maybe closer to like 9 or 10. Well, I was old enough that my parents let me run around a fairground by myself with just my siblings. So I may have been closer to like 12, 13. But... So, my dog Max was epileptic.
Aww.
Which, I don't know if anyone doesn't know what that means. It means, I don't know what it means. It means he had seizures. Yeah, he had really bad seizures.
And sensitive to, like, light.
So, flashes. Because of that, we had to pay to put him in a boarding house. And he was very particular about the treats. About his medication. If you didn't hide it perfectly in his food, he would spit it back out. We walked into the place to drop him off, and we looked around, and my mom let us all come in because we were really nervous about leaving our dog because, like, we loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I specifically, because, like, he was my dog.
He was your baby.
Before I even had my siblings.
Aww.
So, like, kind of like how Crowley is Luna's best friend. Yeah. He was my friend when I was little.
Aww.
And so, like, my bus stop when I was a kid was right in front of my house, and he would stand out there with me.
Aww.
Like, it was, like, yeah, buddy. That was my doggo. And so we walked in, and we go to cash out, and the lady was showing us how they give the medication to the dogs. And I looked at her, and I looked at my mom, and goes, Mom, if you leave him here, he's gonna die. And the lady freaked out, my mom freaked out, and they're both like, no, of course not. And then we ended up getting a call halfway through our trip.
No!
Letting us know. that he had passed away in the middle of the night during an epileptic session. So what likely happened was
they weren't
following up and making sure. And he didn't take his meds and he died.
That is so sad.
Right in the middle of our road trip.
Vacation, yeah.
And like, dead ass. Like, my siblings were screaming and crying when they found out. And I looked at my mom and I said, I told you. I was a asshole kid. I was an asshole.
Oh, I feel like we would definitely.
But no, like, I dead ass. Like, I looked at my mom and I was like, I told you he'd die. And she's like,
oh,
I didn't even think.
Because she's probably like upset about it too. And then in the middle, I told you he would die.
Because like, he was our dog before my parents' divorce.
Oh.
My dad brought him home to us.
So like, he'd been in the family longer than your siblings.
He'd been in the family longer than my siblings, longer than my stepdad. He was mine before my family was mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
That's so sad.
So yeah.
So you're like, I feel this.
So I didn't, obviously this wasn't as traumatic.
Yeah.
But it was also like one of the first times that I like accidentally like predicted something major.
Hey.
So.
Nice.
Cool.
I knew it. Told you.
But yeah.
It's the worst, I told you so.
This story kind of like settles in my soul a little deeper.
Yeah. Because you're like.
At least I wasn't there for it. I mean, I was there for when puppies had parvo, but that's another heartbreaking story. I'll save that one for later. We don't want to kill too many animals in one episode.
We'll save that for when I get to the cats.
What?
Which is coming up.
Becca!
Oh, just hold on to your furry pets.
Becca!
Okay. So I took a family trip.
Okay. So nice and lighthearted. Hope your dog doesn't die while you're gone.
They came back invigorated and in higher spirits, though immediately upon return, that was gone.
Why?
So I think Roger's mom was asked to watch the house while they were gone.
Oh, no.
And they had four cats. Two of them were Siamese, and two of them were strays that they took care of.
What's up with this family and, like, hoity-toity fucking animals? Siamese are expensive, bitch.
I know, right? Yeah. So, they arrive back home to the front door of the house wide open, and one of the family cats had been brutally murdered.
What?
And it was in the front yard.
By what?
By an asshole 12-year-old who lived next door. Yeah. And so, every bone in its body.
No.
Yeah. It's crushed. Broken. Shattered. Like.
They're not even in the spooky house yet!
They're not even in the spooky house yet, and this is the shit they're going through.
The fuck?
Yeah! So, yeah. Every bone in its body was crushed. The other three cats were missing. One of them they found later on, and she had narrowly escaped the same fate, I think.
Jesus.
And the other two, the Siamese, so it was like a group of boys who had done it.
Mm-hmm.
They had taken the Siamese and sold them to somebody else in another neighborhood.
Well, I mean.
So.
They didn't give it back, did they?
No, they did not give it back. They paid for the cats and asked no questions.
From a bunch of children.
From boys. And these boys had been causing some issues in, like, school. Mm-hmm. And, like there was a mention of, like, there was one leader, and he was, like, this 12-year-old boy who lived next door to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a story of him and his gang had tied up a girl at their elementary school and, like, sexually assaulted her.
How old are these children?
12. And or younger.
Okay, who the fuck is assaulting them in their own home for them to think that this is something that can be done?
Yeah.
There's some bigger problems in this neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, this is why the mom wanted to get the fuck out of there.
Well, I mean, when that's what you're returning to, I think I'd live in the Conjuring house, too!
But this! Let's go some ghosties! Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, yeah. So, they came home to that, and one of the little boys who was in the group was, like, devastated by it, and so he kind of ratted the other ones out.
Well, I'm glad somebody had a conscience.
Right? So, the inside of the house was completely destroyed, all the furniture was knocked over, the fridge and the deep freezer were damaged, and all the food that was in the fridge and the freezer had been, like, they dumped oil on it, they basically destroyed everything.
They, like,
past being usable at all. And, like,
that takes a lot of energy.
And, like, a deep freezer you usually use to store large quantities of food.
Meat, yeah.
To save for later.
Yeah.
So, like, they went through the effort of destroying all of that. And the fridge and the freezer were damaged beyond repair. So, like, they could, like, they had to get new appliances.
Jesus Christ.
So the neighbor, a 12-year-old boy, the culprit, he had started to exhibit some very violent behaviors around town and at school. He had a gang of boys.
Does this boy grow up to be anyone significant?
Dude, I don't know, but I want to know.
I'm curious.
Like, I want to look into that. But there's not a lot to go off of. It's just a neighbor who lived in, I don't remember where, but in a suburb in Rhode Island.
So then what we need to do is just cross that with the time, with, like, the time frames, so, like, with, like, major crazy people.
Yes.
And just see.
So after the one boy told who it was, the Robert and Carolyn went next door to talk to the mom.
Yeah, of course.
And she tried to protect her son. And while they were talking to her, the boy came out of his room and his arm was covered in cat scratches. So, like, obviously, like, he fucking did it. Yeah. They tried to protect him, but the family filed a police report against the boy.
Good.
So this is some sweet justice right here. So the police investigation obviously takes too long.
Naturally.
So the boys, while they're being investigated, are roaming free.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea, the eldest.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't wait for justice to be served. So she waited and waited, and she made calls to her friends to keep tabs on him. And when he was alone and had nobody around him, she ambushed him.
What did she do?
So, quote, beating the culprit bloody,
ooh!
Breaking his nose,
punching
him repeatedly. Once his eyes sealed shut, she throttled his scrawny neck, muffling his pleas for help, then took aim at every vulnerable part of his body, ribs to growing. Absolutely no mercy was shown to the boy who mutilated her favorite cat. Lucky for him, someone witnessing the attack pulled her off him and told her to go home.
Damn!
Yeah! I was like, you go, girl. Like, she calculated it. She waited.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like.
Is that Michael putting Luna to bed?
Yeah.
That's adorable.
So, like, there was a police report from that.
Yeah.
But they were able to kind of make it go away. It doesn't say how. Just says they were able to make it go away. Because the police, the station obviously knew
naturally
what had happened with the boy previously. So they were probably like, this poor girl. Obviously she's going to get some revenge.
I'm glad that there was at least a case that the police decided to make go away that actually was worth it.
Yeah, yeah. I just love that, though. I was like, ribs to growing. She spared no punches.
Growing? Groin.
Groin.
Groin?
Groin?
Growing.
Growing.
Not anymore.
Yes. So maybe that was enough to beat the kid beat the kid into, you know, better life choices.
Not likely, but, you know. I'm sorry. Weak. If you live in a household where your mother is going to defend you completely, yeah, demolishing another living thing.
Yeah.
You obviously, like, have other problems.
Yeah.
There's more wrong there.
So, Carolyn, the mom. Caroline?
Carolyn?
Carolyn?
Mm-hmm.
Became absolutely adamant about relocating the family to a country house surrounded by nature instead of wild criminals.
I can agree to that.
The father was a traveling salesman, and they barely had any equity in the current home.
Now that it's destroyed.
Yeah, now that it's destroyed, and they hadn't had that house for very long. So they discussed it and decided to, like, shelf it for later, waiting until they were in a better place financially. Because they're a family of seven, and only one of them is working, so...
But still making more than...
the 1970s.
Still making enough take home, though, to raise that many children.
I'm out of necessity, probably.
Must have been a damn good salesman.
I keep thinking I hear the door open.
I think it's her bedroom door. It's like right there.
Okay, so one day she bought a newspaper after forgetting to bring a book to read at a practice for one of her kids. Mm-hmm. That night, when she finally had some mythical mom time, you know, time to herself.
Weird. Moms aren't allowed to have that.
Don't know what that is. What's that like? She spread it out to read and happened upon a listing in the classifieds that called to her, and it was listed as a 9-room colonial farmhouse with a barn plus 200 acres, Harrisville, $75,000. It was about 9 o'clock at night, but she called the realtor 9 o'clock at night to schedule a viewing.
As any sane human would.
She just had the gut feeling about it and wanted to see it as soon as she could. Roger, the father, was out of town for business. So this was a very much an independent woman don't need no man decision.
Damn, son.
So the next day she went alone to view the house and immediately fell in love with it.
That's crazy that she, like, didn't even catch any weird vibes, like, at
right?
all.
Right? So, yeah, immediately fell in love with it. She said it was, like a love spell. It was, like, she just absolutely loved it upon seeing it.
Weird.
She could imagine raising the large family there. And I had concerns when she said, upon entering the house, she instantly noticed how cool it felt on the worst heat of the day. She said it was very cold. Old house. Middle of summer. Worst heat of the day.
Becca.
Cold spots.
We live in the fucking desert. If you walked into a house with pretty decent air conditioning, you'd fall in love too.
Okay, but wait.
No. No, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Or you'd be like, damn, your electricity bill must be insane. So she absolutely fell in love with the house and did not want to lose it. The realtor wouldn't tell her until their closing day, because spoiler alert, I mean, obviously they buy the house. That had been the first day the house had been advertised in that paper. They had prepaid for a 6-month listing because large properties like that are harder to sell.
Yeah.
In the time the house had been in the paper, so it was in the paper for 6 months, the Perrin family had been the only one to call and show any interest in the home.
In 6 months?
In 6 months. So there was never a risk of losing that house.
How widely publicized was this paper?
It's a great question.
Good to know. Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
She wrote a check for $500 as a good faith payment, so basically like a down payment.
Yeah.
For them to hold the house for the family.
And she still hasn't talked to her husband about this.
Still has not talked to their husband about this. And that $500 left them with enough money in the bank to buy milk and bread.
And like that was it.
And that was it. So like... And, okay, so I use the inflation calculator to see how much that would be to today's money. $3,469.
I mean, that's actually, yeah, that's a down payment.
And, but, like, she cleared their bank account of that much money to put down on a house that she has not talked to her husband about.
I mean, same.
I was, oh my, that's literally in my notes. I was like, girl, same. Because, like, I saw this house before Michael did, and I was like, yeah, let's put in an offer.
My, both apartments that I've lived in with Kyle, because I suck at moving, so, like, I've stayed in both apartments for multiple years. My one apartment I was in for 3 years. This one, I just signed my third lease on.
Yeah.
So.
I wish I would have done that.
Literally, like, I wanted to move years ago, but I took a look around and I'm like, I'm paying $700 for a 1200 $500 yeah. apartment.
Yeah.
So, guess I'm not moving anywhere.
I guess I'm staying here. Well, what's funny about it is, so the other house that we were under contract on that ended up falling through,
mm-hmm.
Michael had seen without me and decided to put, like, he was like, yeah, I really like this house. Let's put it in an offer. And I was like, okay, cool.
Is that the one where the ghosts didn't listen?
No, no, that wasn't the house. That house was on the other side of town.
Dude, you're kidding.
Yeah.
They were looking for houses, and her kid fucking says, I don't like that house. The ghosts aren't good listeners.
They're not good listeners. Yeah, she said that after we walked around. And, like, I didn't get any, like, usually the houses we would walk into, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I can see, like, how we would set this up. This house, we walked into it, and I was like, nah, I mean.
Like, I'm not vibing with it.
Yeah, it's a house. Kind of odd. And we get outside, and she's like, yeah, I didn't like the house. The ghosts weren't good listeners. Okay, so bye.
Like, nah, fam. I'm out.
Yeah, no thank you.
Remind me to use your little walking spirit box when I go to buy a house.
Yeah, I will do. So I also decided to use the inflation calculator for the house. So mm-hmm. the $75,000 would be $520,000 today.
Oh. Nothing.
Like,
yeah, dude, that's fucking,
that's a lot of money.
It is a big ass house and a lot of land, yeah, though. Like, good luck finding that much land for anything. Big
it was 9 bedrooms, 200 acres, it had a barn, like, it's in the countryside, you have, like, your closest neighbor can't hear you screaming for your life. Yeah. So anyways, she put all of their savings down on a house that her husband hadn't even seen or heard of. And when he did get back from his business trip the next day,
he immediately had a heart attack.
Yeah! He was like, well, it was kind of out of character for her to do. So, oh, I thought that was the door.
You and that door, Jesus, chill.
My child.
Truth.
Yeah, enough said.
No, I'm sorry, I don't know how to sit for long periods of time, so my butt hurts.
That's why
yeah, no, my butt hurts because I don't know how to do anything. Like, I can't sit down.
You're like,
I don't know how to sit still. I'm sorry.
I can't even. So she convinced him to at least see the house before making up his mind.
Yeah.
So they called the owner, Mr. Kenyon. And I would like to note now, Mr. Kenyon, so he's the current owner. He lives there by himself. He raised his family in there. His wife had died previously.
Mm-hmm.
But the family absolutely adores him.
Aww.
So, when she went by herself, I don't think she really talked to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, she talked her husband into going to see the house, and Mr. Kenyon agreed to let them come. So, they made the 30-minute drive with the entire family. And Roger didn't tell his wife as much, but he also absolutely fell in love with the house.
Ooh.
And he was a city boy, so he's not used to living, like...
But, I mean, like, anything with 9 rooms, like...
Well, and then, like, 9 rooms for that price, I feel like...
So, like, okay, Kyle and I are to have been, like, kind of talking about houses, but, mm-hmm. like, not talking about houses as much as just talking about our must-haves.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to have...
Like, a spare room.
Yeah, so, like, my ideal house, and I know this is kind of weird, but my ideal house has 2 living rooms.
Yeah.
One for the kids, one for the adults.
Nice.
A library, and the master bedroom is going to have a Jack and Jill connection to a smaller room that would work as a nursery.
Oh, nice.
And so that nursery would be there until the beans are big enough to acquire their own room. So once they're old enough to stay in their bed all night long, like, probably when they're, like, 3 or 4, getting ready to, like, go into kindergarten, maybe, like, 4 or 5-ish, then they go across the house to their own bedroom, very far away from mine.
Yeah.
And that way, I have a built-in contingency room for when I no longer have tiny beans, I have a studio space.
You have a little office, yeah. There was actually a house that we saw that I loved, and it kind of had that, minus the extra living room. But it had a giant entry room when mm-hmm. you walked in, a dining room, like an informal dining room, and then like a formal dining room.
But like you can turn that formal dining room into a secondary living room. That's fine.
Yeah. And then the master bedroom had like a huge closet, a huge bathroom, and then it had a little room connected to it that you could get in through the masters, and then also it had its own door.
So, yeah, a built-in little, like, nursery room that turns into an office space when you don't have beans.
And when we put in an offer on this house, and, I mean, it's 2020. The housing market was fucking crazy. We didn't get it, obviously. But I really wanted to get one of those doors that was, like, a bookshelf door.
To get into that little weird room. Yes. I love that.
I was obsessed with that idea.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to do that for our bedroom door, make it, like, a little bookshelf.
That's funny.
Yeah. So,
what you need to do is do that to Luna's room.
I feel like that bookshelf would be destroyed,
though. But, like, when she's a little older. And then that there way, like, intruders can never find your kid's room.
Yeah, hey. That would be, that's a good idea. Like, that idea. Or just, like, cut a hole through this wall so she can just sneak into here if she needs to.
What? So, like, you motion towards the closet. So I look into the closet and a shadow fucking moved. And I was like, no! It's just your goddamn cat.
Oh, really? Which one?
Aurora!
Oh, of course, it's Aurora.
So, like, right here, looking by this blue bucket, she might wiggle again. Call her name.
Aurora!
She's, like, right there in that little window.
Aurora!
Please be a cat.
Aurora!
I swear to God, it was not a cat!
Why aren't you coming? You always come when I call you!
Oh, it's Oswald. It's Oswald.
Oh, Oswald! She probably won't come.
Okay. Whatever. I saw a cat. I saw a nose.
You're
it's
like,
fine.
Fuck!
So, like, oh my God.
The story, you know?
Dude, if we get some secondhand juju from this, I'm gonna be pissed.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
So he absolutely fell in love with the house as soon as he stepped out of the car, and only fell more in love the more of the property that he saw.
Yeah.
There was a creek that they all went down to.
There
was
my
a
God.
Creek on the property.
See, like, that sounds amazing, but I cannot tell you how many old-timey stories that end in one of the kids drowning.
Yeah, there are rumors of kids drowning in it, but there's nothing, like, concrete to back it up.
Stresses me out.
So I think in the movie they mentioned that as, like, an added, like, so much death, kids died. But it's, like, there's no actual...
There's no concrete
there's
evidence
no
of it.
There's no records of that. There was a creek they all went down to, and the father played in it, not wanting the kids, he didn't let the kids play in it, because he didn't want them to make mud pies and track that into the car when they were going to go home.
But he played in it?
But he played in it.
Asshole!
Right? Okay, the farther along I got in the book, the less I liked the dad.
I already don't like him. Let your kids get mud in the fucking car. You can clean it.
It's a damn car.
It's
but
a car.
If he's a traveling salesman,
okay,
it might be like...
Okay, fine.
I don't know. Yeah.
Whatever.
So he, Mr. Kenyon, let him tour the inside of the house alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to be as unbiased as possible, seeing as he already fell in love with the place.
Yeah.
He made sure to check the plumbing, the electricity, and all that before making up his mind, because, you know, it's old house. It's gonna need some renovations. Mr. Kenyon had made up his mind that this was the family he wanted to occupy his home when he moved out. And he told Mr. Perrin he would help however he could to get the family into the house, even if it meant waiting. And wait, he did.
Okay.
Because Mr. Kenyon, he wasn't ready to say goodbye to the house. And I'm kind of wondering, like, because they had a lot of encounters with different spirits in the house. I'm wondering if he didn't want to leave because his wife died. She passed away. So I'm wondering if she... was still there, maybe?
Okay, so, like, he just felt really connected to it because he could still kind of feel her presence?
Yeah, and, like, they'd raised their son in the house.
Aww.
And the reason he was selling it was he's obviously living there by himself.
Yeah, like, that's too much room for one person.
And his son had built him a house on his property.
Aw, that's fucking adorable.
Yeah.
I would never.
No, no, sorry, parents, you're on your own.
I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I really do, but, like...
That's not gonna happen. I'm sorry.
I also... You know, I'm not gonna say that out loud. Never mind.
See it.
I also like the idea of not having to worry about my neighbors overhearing anything. Yeah. And if those neighbors are my parents,
then that's like you're extra like,
like, I get it. You like, I'm an adult now, and even though it's never been actually said, it's like it's happening, yeah. But like, no,
nobody needs to know.
One that's related to me needs to know. Anyways.
Anyways, so they decided to try to buy the house. Obviously.
Duh.
Which would mean no more family vacations, no more eating out at restaurants, school shopping, and shopping in general would have to be the bare necessities. The simple bare necessities.
Don't worry about your troubles or your strife. Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Okay, I couldn't not. Roger was on the road a lot more, trying to bring in more money.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls tried to do whatever they could to help out. So after a summer of saving and cutting out non-essentials, they are ready to try and close on the house. So the original survey came back a few acres short of the 200. So the dollar value came back lower than the asking price.
Oh, good.
So Mr. Kenyon, already deciding that this was the family for the house, he lowered the asking price, and in December of 1970, the house was theirs.
What a good guy.
Yeah. But Carolyn did not want to be moving during Christmas, so wouldn't be until about January that they would start moving in.
Okay.
Which meant that Mr. Kenyon got to keep living in it.
Through Christmas.
So
what's the house that his kid made him is just sitting there, like...
Yeah, just sitting there waiting for him.
Like all of the other houses in Arizona that
yes.
are too expensive.
For anybody to move into. So the moving day comes, they're moving everything in,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Kenyon was still, like, getting things unpacked,
mm-hmm.
and the girls, bringing in boxes to the house, noticed a man sitting in a chair watching Mr. Kenyon pack up his belongings. This man did not interact with the kids or the family at all, just sat there watching Mr. Kenyon pack his things. And each girl that came in to see him, that came in, saw him, like, the last girl that saw him, I don't remember which one it was, I want to say it was Nancy. When she saw him, he was, like, he disappeared.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
So everyone sees him solid, and then Nancy's like, what up, bitch? And he's like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, and he's like,
peace out, home slice.
Yeah, so she saw him, she didn't see him solid, she saw him transparent, and then disappeared.
He's like, and I leave.
Goodbye.
A little dramatic.
I know, right? The final words of advice that Mr. Kenyon gave to their father was, for the sake of your family, leave the lights on at night.
The fuck? The fuck was that mean? And then, like, they just, like, ruined themselves financially. So, like, they're like, nah, fam, we're saving that electricity bill. Like, it's not happening.
Right. Right, like, okay, no.
Like, okay, thank you.
And so the dad's thinking, like, oh, you know, there's one bathroom for this whole house.
So he thinks that the kids are just going to stumble trying to go to the bathroom.
So he's thinking maybe he was saying it in regards to, like, you know, if your kids are going to be walking around in the middle of the night to find the bathroom, like, it'll make it easier for them because there's, like, stairs
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So.
Oh, no. I'm assuming the first night they're like, thanks, okay. And then they turn off all the lights and they're like, bye.
That is exactly what they do. And they would later come to find that, like, when they would meet their neighbors, the neighbors would tell them that, like, the family always had the lights on. Like, that anytime they saw the house, all of the lights in the house were on. Always. So the first night in the home, Roger was a little bit restless after moving. He was walking around the house. He turned the living room lights on when those words echoed in his head. And at the time, seemingly innocent words, he noticed that even though the moonlight was nice enough, it was insufficient for guidance in the dark of night. It was too dark in the house. The moonlight wasn't even... They're living in the middle of nowhere.
And the moonlight
was not enough in the house to help guide their way. Spooky. Okay. So since they moved in the house in December, January-ish, they endured their first brutal winter. No family members would dare visit them in their new house due to the treacherous weather. Snow shoveling became a daily necessity.
Ew.
If anyone were to leave the house, same. Like, no, thank you. Like, I don't like living here when it's hot, but, like, I do not want to be shoveling snow.
So, like, Kyle keeps, like, joking about, like, oh, let's just go back, let's just move to Ohio. Like, houses are cheaper there. And I was like, okay, that's fine.
I'm not shoveling snow.
I'm never shoveling snow.
Nope, not doing it.
Ever.
Sorry.
No. I am not. I was like, no, like, that's fine. No, that's totally cool. But, like, if we move there, I have to be able to work from home. Because mm-hmm. I am not driving on ice.
Fuck that.
I'm not fucking doing it.
Nope, I don't want to die. Thank you.
Do you want me to die? That's how you feel.
Is this a way to get the insurance money off of me, bud?
Because I will die.
Yeah. No. I do not want to shovel snow, ever. And the house had fireplaces. It had had several, but they were all boarded up.
For why, though?
So, Mr. Kenyon came to visit in February. He was the first official house guest. Because, again, the family adored him, and he adored the family. Like, they had a really good
That's
relationship.
Adorable.
Yeah.
That makes me not like him, because he was like...
Yeah! He's like, hey, my house is haunted, but,
he's
like,
so you
wanna live here?
You will be the next victim.
Yeah! But, the mom, she was always cold. Like, every winter, she was cold to the bone, is what she would say.
Poor baby.
She could not keep warm for the life of her.
Brought me in my first apartment because I could not afford to turn the heat on.
Oh, no!
Well, like, we could, but, like, would we... Here's another traumatic story. Not traumatic. Like, it's not as bad. But, like, when we first got our apartment, we got our first apartment because our house got shot up.
Yep. That's right.
So our house got shot up. The house that we were living in with his parents got shot up. And so then we moved into your house for 3 months, yeah. Living on an air mattress on the floor of her spare bedroom. And then when we finally saved up enough to get an apartment, we got our apartment, and then less than 2 weeks later, our car broke down.
Oh, no.
So we had to ride our bikes. And, like, mind you, we moved into our apartment 3 days before Christmas. Which, again, I know it's the desert, so it's not that cold. Like, I don't care.
It's cold.
It's cold. When your resting temperature is, like, when your resting comfortable temperature is 90 degrees.
Yeah.
30 degrees fucking sucks.
Way too cold.
It's way too cold. And so, like, rain, wind, cold, what have you, we had to ride our bikes.
Oh, no.
Until April?
Yeah.
March, April. And that was when we finally were, we had enough money to get a new car. So we started off with a 1999 Mercury Sable. And she died. Her name was Sabella. She died.
Sabella.
And then when she finally was no longer, like, when she finally was, like, out of the picture, we bought a 2001 Mercury Sable. Or no, a 2000 Mercury Sable.
So just a newer model.
Yeah, the next year up. And this one was the luxury version. Ooh. It had a...
The moonroof? Sunroof?
A moonroof. Sunroof. Whatever. What yeah. have you. A roof.
A roof.
A roof. But because we were trying to save up to be able to buy a car...
No heating?
We kept our electricity as low as possible. We did not have Wi-Fi.
Dang!
We didn't have Wi-Fi. We didn't have cable. We,
Just the simple bare necessity.
We ate, like, chicken and rice and salads and ramen and mac and cheese, and that was it.
Oof.
Well, like, at that time, though, I was still working at the daycare, yeah, which they throttled my hours at 30, and Kyle was still working part-time at the library.
Oof.
I don't know how the fuck we survived.
Hey, you did.
So I was always cold.
Yeah.
Like, my side of the bed had, like, 8 blankets piled on top of it, and then Kyle was always walking around in shorts, like, this is fine. I'm like,
damn you, Ohio boys. You and your cold tolerance.
Slowly considering stabbing you, except for then I would lose my heater.
Yeah, you'd lose your body warmth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Luna and Michael emit so much body heat.
Dude.
And so, like, when Luna does crawl into bed with us, like she did last night, she decided she wouldn't cuddle with him. And, like, the heat radiating from the both of them.
That's disgusting.
Was just too much. Was too much.
Yeah, no, in the summer, I cannot let my dog sleep in my bed because being sandwiched between a furnace and a like a portable heater. Like, it's too much. I can't.
Yes.
Ooh. Okay. Kay. Anyways.
Anyways. So he came to visit one day in February. And he was very happy to see the family enjoying the house, mm-hmm. even though he clearly missed it. To his heart, this would always be his home. The fireplace thing came up briefly, and though they were sealed during his tenure in the house, he avoided talking about it and changed the subject altogether.
But, like, can you open them or what?
Oh, she does.
Oh, no.
She opens one of them.
Oh, no.
And then... Yeah, that's a whole other... That's a whole other can of worms.
Jesus.
So, one February morning, all the girls are at school except the youngest. I think she was 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. You said the youngest was 5 when they moved in, okay, I think.
So 5. The mom experiences her first haunt, I think. The first one mentioned in the book, at least. Thinking that she thought her daughter was upstairs playing... because she hears all the noises of play.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely startled when she turns around. She's, like, doing the dishes or something. She turns around and her daughter's right there next to her. But the noises of play are still happening upstairs. So, thinking that someone, like, broke into the house or something, she is, like, rushes upstairs.
With a knife, I hope.
Like, a knife.
Okay.
Or an iron pan. I don't remember.
Fucking
something from
Rapunzel.
The kitchen. Yeah.
Rapunzel in this shit.
Yeah, cast iron pan. Nothing. No one up there. But she swore she heard someone. And there are so many hiding places in this house because it is huge.
I despise every piece of that.
So after calming down a bit, she puts her daughter down for a nap in the parlor to afford herself an hour or so of silence before the other girls come home from school. Next thing she knows, it's been 2 hours. So she was sitting in the
parlor. So she lost time.
She lost track of time.
Oh.
She had had a cup of coffee with her, and it was ice cold. And the clock in that room had stopped on the time that they entered the room. And it was abnormally cold in the room.
Is your kid, like, still asleep?
Yeah.
Or?
Her kid's napping on the couch, blissfully unaware.
How does she know it was 2 hours later if the clock stopped? Right, is that a stupid question?
I think she could tell, like, the day had further progressed, like, the sunlight or something.
She didn't pull out her cell phone and be like, oh,
no,
she didn't glance at her Apple Watch.
Not
like,
in 1970, she did not know.
Oh, okay.
So the girls came home and she greeted them at the door with Coco and, I don't remember, like, basically with Coco and pleading with them not to wake up their sister.
Leave your fucking kid.
Leave your sister alone. She's napping. And then the youngest daughter comes into the room upset and asking who scared her. Because she had been sleeping and she had been woken up by somebody startling her awake. Like, I think that it was like a loud noise. Like, they said something. And the mom knew that all of the girls... had been in the room with her the whole time. And she was like, I mean, I guess one of them could have snuck off to do that, but like...
Why would they?
They were with me the whole time.
I don't like that.
Yeah. This would become the norm for everyone in the house. The paranormal, supernatural would become the new normal. Hearing noises in rooms that no one is in. Doors opening on their own was, like, a big theme.
No.
You would, and they're, like, old doors that, like, they don't have a handle. They have a latch. So you'd hear the click and then the creak. Yeah. Yeah. And the house, at times, amplified every noise. A whisper could be heard throughout the entire house. But at other times, the opposite occurred.
You'd be screaming and no one would hear you.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Their quote.
Or, I mean, like, it has its uses.
But if that was to happen, that would mean, that usually meant there was an entity.
Oh, yeah.
Nearby. Just like, sup.
Sup, bitch.
Quote, there would be incidents, serious and terrifying incidents that precluded screaming children from being heard by parents in the next room. One of the girls would refer to this as being in the bubble. where the spirits could even stop time, which could be seen as evidence in the antique pendulum clock that they had. Yeah. So
like you'd be stuck in a room for felt like hours, yeah, and you come rushing out and it's been like 5 minutes.
There would be times where they would be trapped in a room and like they would feel the room would either be really, really cold or mm-hmm. really, really warm. They say it was like each person has their own stories, and they would say each entity brought its own energy. The cold or heat that they brought didn't necessarily mean good or bad.
It just was kind of what mood they were in.
Depended on the spirit. And there would be a foul odor. Especially not nice ones. So the father, Roger.
Roger.
Every day. So
I blame my father.
Was his name Roger? No.
No, but he showed me Star Wars.
Roger. He was on the road a lot because he was a traveling salesman. That's what he did. Road again.
We don't have any of those fancy like audio boards or switchboards or whatever. So you guys got to deal with me.
So you get our switchboard mouths.
On the road again. Okay. Dad's on the road a lot, which I'm sure is really strenuous on the mother.
So really strenuous on the mother.
So then like he comes home and she's like telling him all these stories and he's like, yeah, right, whatever.
And he does not believe her.
Oh, he better eventually though.
He has moments, but he tries to find an explanation for everything.
Asshole.
So, like, the clock not working, he was like, oh, maybe, you know, it's...
It's an old clock, it's probably clock. Faulty.
Maybe it's not the clock faulty, but he was blaming the walls. He was like, maybe the walls aren't even, maybe it's not sitting right.
Blah.
Because the clock would stop frequently. It became not very reliable. It would stop and start on its own.
I'm out.
My
grandmother had this, like, 6-foot tall.
One of those, like.
Yes, like a long, like.
With the big
old, like.
Pendulum thing.
Yeah, like about the size of a fried egg. I don't know. That would swing back and forth, and it was all encased.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, stood on the ground, and it was super tall. And I just remember, like, Christmases, because like it was my grandmother from my stepmother, it's my stepmom's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And on Christmases, when my dad had custody of us, he didn't live in state, so on like every other holiday he would have us, and so when it was his Christmas we would usually stay the night there.
Yeah.
And so we would sleep in sleeping bags on the floor of the living room, and it was always like right in the shadow of this big clock, and it was one of the ones that chimed.
Oh no.
And so, like, my siblings can and will sleep through everything.
But you were a light sleeper.
But, like, I would always wake up every time that clock chimed.
That is so annoying.
Every time. And it was always just so, like... Like, I don't want to say eerie, but it was, like...
It's pretty eerie.
Almost, like, surreal, maybe. Yeah. Like, it didn't feel real.
It's weird.
But like she also had this big fancy light up Christmas tree that spun and sang.
Ooh.
So like we would be underneath the lights of a spinning Christmas tree, and then I'd wake up at like midnight on Christmas to the chime of an old grandfather clock.
Ooh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all.
And you wonder why I don't fucking like Christmas.
I don't like that at all.
I don't like Christmas. It's just not my thing.
Yeah, I wonder why.
So yeah.
Pendulum clocks. It's funny, in the book it was referred to as like a TikTok clock. But like TikTok now makes me think of like TikTok
croc. Like
TikTok
Peter Pan.
Like the app.
Oh, yeah, that too. Anyways.
Anywho's. So yeah, he was on the road a lot. So he wasn't there for all of these things that the family was experiencing.
It's fucking annoying.
And he found a way to explain everything away when he was home. So for everything that happened while he was there, his own haunt comes in the form of a fly infestation.
Oh, no. I've always seen those kinds of things in movies and have been like, okay.
Yeah. So there's literally a chapter in the book called Devil's Pets.
No.
That talks about this.
Gross.
So,
I'm ready.
It's all about the flies and how the father became rather obsessive with ridding the house of them. They didn't want to hire an exterminator at first because naturally, they didn't want to use, like, the pesticides and all that. They wanted to just try to get rid of it on their own. They got fly swatters, which became, like, the annoyance of the mother because he was obsessive with trying to get rid of them.
Just whack,
so,
constantly.
Like, yeah, whack. The kids would be sitting at the breakfast table eating breakfast, and he'd be swatting the flies while they're eating breakfast.
Ew.
And,
At least it's not as gross as those sticky tapes.
Eventually he gets the
sticky tapes. God damn it!
And he broke down and decided to bring in an exterminator. But
when the exterminator came out, there was nothing.
No flies. Could not find any evidence of flies. The only evidence that he could see were the dead bodies in the windowsill. Other than that, nothing. He couldn't find any flies in the house.
The fuck?
Anywhere.
Were they all just hallucinating or what?
Dude, right. Maybe there's like a chemical spill somewhere.
Well, weren't you the one telling me, or was it Kyle telling me, that they've done a study with carbon monoxide where, like, the houses and the places that are more notoriously haunted, they test carbon monoxide levels and they tend to be higher.
Interesting.
So, I don't want to be the person that says that ghosts aren't real, but I mean, that is a theory.
I'm definitely, like,
I feel like
skeptical.
Well, and, like, the shitty part about it is it kind of makes sense.
It does.
So, like, if you walk into a house that you know has these specific entities and everyone always sees these things, you're gonna see it. Like, when you start to trip balls on carbon monoxide, you're gonna see it.
Yeah. That's just what's gonna happen.
And then just the power of suggestion just kind of catapults that. Yeah.
But when the exterminator's there, he doesn't see any flies.
Yeah, because he doesn't have prolonged exposure.
But the dead bodies of the flies are in the windowsill.
Well, yeah, there's always going to be dead bodies of flies in windowsills. Yeah. Every single one of them. Unless you obsessively clean your windowsill, there's a dead fly. Go look. I dare you.
Check it.
Check it.
Yeah, no.
But, like, I kind of want it to be real, but at the same time, I'm like, ooh.
Right, yeah. You're like, but I don't because, no thanks. He becomes so blinded by his obsession with the flies that he begins to wake up before them in order to get ahead of their deaths.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, the flies' deaths.
He wakes up early before
the flies on a killing spree with his fly swatter.
I don't know why I never thought about this. Do flies sleep?
Right? Is there a point where they're not
active? A good chunk of flies only, like, live for, like mayflies, they only live for 4 days.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Right. Your life is to be born, have sex, pop out babies, and die.
And hopefully you don't get swatted.
Like, at least you had sex.
Yeah, at least you got laid. He began to ignore his family completely, almost seeing right through them as if they were the ghosts. So he was, like, on a mission, and he was blinded by it. And this is a theme that pops up a lot throughout the story, and, like, eventually the mom kind of, like, their relationship slowly starts to crumble.
Aww, that makes me sad.
Because, well, I mean, it's like, she's experiencing all of these.
And he's not providing a united front.
He's not believing her. He is straight up calling her, like, I think you just have an active imagination, like, all this kind of stuff.
I hate that.
Like, he's not even trying to, like, even attempt to see it from her side. And so, like, there comes a night.
Oh, no.
That they are sleeping in their bedroom.
Okay.
The mom wakes up at 3:15 a.m.
God damn it.
Yes, the clock did stop on that time.
Naturally.
She wakes up and there is an entity with a bent neck. no face, really. Just, like, the face looked like a wasp nest. And it was, like, flesh, like, falling off of it. Like, terrifying thing to wake up to. She's awake. She is frozen by fear. She is trying to kick her husband awake.
Oh. Stop!
Oh my god, I'm sorry.
She's like trying to kick her husband awake. Trying to like scratch him with like her toenails. Like trying.
Dude, no. Kyle as a kid has slept through literal tornadoes.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That would be you no, guys. Like,
you'd
be
the like... whole family freaked out and was in the cellar, or like in the basement, and they're like, wait, where's Kyle? And he was still dead asleep in his bed. And his mom had to pick him up and carry him down, and he slept through it!
Kyle didn't wake up! What the heck?
Well, I mean, like, I'm telling, like, remember when my cat gave birth?
Yeah.
Neat. And then he rolled back over.
I forgot.
Neat.
That boy... Like, okay, it's like, he's either asleep or he's awake. There is no in between. So he will be dead ass asleep and nothing will get his ass out of bed.
Oh my god.
Or.
He's awake.
Or. He is so fragilely asleep that the sound of the cat going, meow, he's up. There is no in between. And there's no way to tell the difference because they both look the same.
Nice.
Nothing's crazier than coming home from an overnight and trying to tiptoe into the bedroom, like, okay, I'm just gonna change into some pajamas, I'm gonna do a little bit of, like, go-to-bed routine, like, you know, wash my face, whatever, and I'm not gonna disturb him. And the door opens without a sound, and he just lifts up his head and goes, you're home! Hi! He's either dead ass asleep or not.
Dang.
It's kind of creepy.
That is creepy.
But, like, in that instance, like, if he was dead asleep, like, I will, like, nothing is about to wake his ass up. Nothing.
Good for him. You get that sleep. I'm so jealous.
See, there's an instinct that comes with parenting that ruins that
sleep
for you.
Sleep is just gone.
So, we'll see if he loses that if he ever becomes a dad.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, the whole cat thing, but it's not his own child.
Well, I mean, so, like, he also has, like, his shooting range, like, earmuffs near his bed, so that when the cats start up on their shit, he can just...
pops those on.
Yeah.
I should start doing that.
I mean, you could.
Bye, Luna.
No. You gotta put the headphones on her. Your kid loves headphones.
She really does.
Put on some, like, classic music for her or something. Like, she'll chill.
I should try that. I did find, like, a pair of little kid Bluetooth headphones. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
and
true.
I was like, I'll buy these.
Her birthday's coming up.
It is, yep. In 2 months.
That soon already?
Like, 3 months. Like, 3 months? I'm rounding down. Because July, August, September.
That's not even 3 whole ass months.
You know, because we're about to be in July.
Oh my god. I have so much to do. Her birthday is like 3 days after my wedding.
Yeah. Her due date was the wedding day?
Yep.
Yeah. Is the wedding day. It's so funny.
But she was late. Thank god, because I was out of town.
She waited. Anyways. For you. Okay. So there's one night.
She didn't wait for me. She waited for the full moon. You and I both know it.
True. She waited for her, I won't say her birthday, never mind. So, she wakes up 3:15 a.m.
This wasps.
Waspy face, like, fleshy, falling off.
Husband is pulling a Kyle and not waking
Husband
up.
Husband is completely oblivious.
Stop talking with your hands! You look like you're trying to wave in an airplane, dude.
Okay. Completely oblivious. And she is terrified. Like,
yeah.
She's pretty sure she's gonna die.
Dude. I have a black cat and I have watched her slink through my bedroom not realizing it was her. And I was terrified, and all I saw was a black blob. Like, imagine if I saw a definite... And, like, let's not forget the fact that its neck is crooked to the side.
Yeah, crooked neck.
So does that mean it has a long neck with a weird crook in the middle? Or does that mean that its neck is jutted to the side it's like and its this. Head is, like, on its shoulder?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I felt good.
No, I don't have any pops in me, sorry.
I'm disappointed. Let me see if I can find... Was it this one or the second time it happened? Because this happens twice.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So she ends up sleeping sleeping alone a lot, obviously. So
because he's gone a lot?
Yeah, because he's on the road a lot. So she sleeps alone, and I think it was the second instance. So she wakes up, squirrel's there. She's getting closer. She's pretty sure she's going to die. The odor in the room is like smells of death. And this thing is coming closer to her. And she's so desperate to wake Roger up. She's like, the blankets are off of her mostly. And she gets the blanket off of him. And I think he's like sleeping on his side or on his back. And his back is completely covered in like scorch marks and like scratch marks. And, like, he's, looks like he's not breathing, so she's pretty sure he's dead. Yeah. But he's not. He's not. He finally wakes up, and the, haunt.
No face.
The haunt, crooked neck person, is gone. And he's just like, what the fuck? Because, like, obviously his whole, like, torso.
Oh, my God.
Both sides scratched up. And still doesn't believe her. This incident happens, and he continues to doubt her.
What did he think? She did it?
Like.
No, it was the flies. The flies scratched you up.
The flies did it. They're gonna be your undoing.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's so sad. Like, especially that happens, and he still questions her when he's, like, home and she's telling him about these things. Like, it gets to a point where she's just like, what's the point of telling him? Because he's not gonna listen.
It's fucking insane.
Like, how frustrating would that be to try to get your point across to somebody and they're not, like, they're like, nah.
Okay. Dude.
Yeah.
I feel like Kyle would just smile and be like, okay. Yeah. Dude. Like, he'd be like, oh, you ghosties? Yeah. Okay. You want me to buy you some of that weird stuff to burn?
Yeah. You want, like, some sage?
Do you need more candles? Yeah. Okay. Literally the most, like, mellow motherfucker ever. I love it so much.
He's great.
I know.
I know.
Alrighty, so only a little taste of that. I know. Like, that's crazy. Like, I feel like, oh my god.
I'm trying to find, because I do want to find this last, like, this point, because I had a really good, like, quote highlighted. Devil's pets, they seem to come from nowhere, then everywhere, day after day, more flies invaded the house.
And on that bombshell.
Oh, wait, here. Okay, well, this is with the flies, not the thing. But the man would rise before dawn, make the pot of coffee, then await their arrival. The flies. Something wicked, indeed. What began as an altruistic attempt to protect a family became much more a demented hobby, evolving into a preoccupation, gradually transforming into obsession.
Jesus.
Like, bro, get your priorities straight.
You have 5 fucking daughters. Like, can you please smile at them?
Yeah, you're, like, never home. Could you, like, be with your kid, like, not be swatting flies while they're eating breakfast?
I mean, to some extent, it kind of makes sense, like, just wanting to provide a good home for your kids, and this is the thing that's keeping your home from being a good home, so you want to, like, destroy it.
Yeah.
But still, oh my god. Alrighty, so... We'll go ahead and call it here, and we will continue with the stories from the Conjuring House later on next week. Friendly reminder, you can hit us up on Instagram, send us an email. You want to feel generous enough to donate to us, you can hit us up on Flatter and on
Patreon.
All of those links are in the bios of each and every episode that we have posted. Send us your stories. We want to hear them, please. Yes. What we can do is also, once Patreon is actually, like, moving and we have, like, a few people in Patreon, we can do Patreon stories.
Ooh, yes.
As Patreon episodes. So, like, once you've become a Patreon, you really want that to be heard. Then we can do extra episodes.
I like that.
For Patreon listener. Like, hey, this episode was brought to you by this Patreon. And, like...
I love that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah. we will get a little more well underway. Anything helps. And if you cannot help us financially, that's okay. Because that's your rates, reviews, subscriptions, all of that is also going to help us.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. We really appreciate it.
Yay!
Yay! So thank you for joining us on our...
Casual Crusade.
We will catch you next week with some more spooktastic bullshit from the Conjuring House.
So spooky.
And you know what? Honestly, there was an unnecessary amount of casualties at the beginning of this.
Oh my god, yeah.
Those poor animals.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Bye!
Bye!
Yay!
Yay!